Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Mike Armstrong podcast show. And this evening or afternoon stateside, we're joined by Swampy. And he is an eco speaker and a campaigner based out of Louisville in Kentucky, USA. How are you doing today, Swampy?
Pretty good, Mike. The Welsh Dragon, doing well. We've, of course, friends in Clubhouse, so doing real well. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, well, yes, we've been, pretty much seeing each other multiple times per day for the last at least 5 weeks now. And we've obviously got to know each other really, really well. And I know that you're a very interesting character, very unique, and what you're doing is fantastic. And I think it's going to be great to showcase what you're doing to my audience, my listeners and my YouTube watchers, and so they can get to see how wonderful you are and all the great things that you're doing. So welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. I look forward to sharing, folks, about what's going on with me. And I've got a recently wrote a book, and I've got a campaign in action, and I look forward to sharing that with all your listeners.
Yeah, brilliant. So Swampy, you're a character, yeah? You're a character aimed at trying to help children and the world really understand, climate change and the environment and all that sort of thing. Tell everyone a little bit about your story, about, your history and how the Swampy character came to life, really.
Yeah, let me share that with you because it's really quite a hoot. When I was the place where I was working, we were allowed to dress up. So I was involved, got my degree in forestry at the University of Kentucky. And so I'm like, I've learned the hardwoods, the trees, and I saw these weeds. I'm like, I wanted to find out about the weeds. And I got involved with a discussion of what are called wetlands. And wetlands are really types of in between water and uplands that involve the water gradient with a fluctuating water table. Sometimes plants can grow in the absence of oxygen. That's called anaerobic. And then other plants, uplands, are above. So it's kind of a transitional area along a gradient. But Swampy is a character that I created. I regulated the coal industry for Kentucky. And I got involved with the geology, the hydrology, the botany, and the zoology aspects in the science area. So I kept with character. Swampy's an acronym. Soils are brown. The W is for waters, which is blue. The A is for our animals. And that's kind of like a red for a lifeblood indicator. M is for mankind, womankind, and back like land use, and how the wetlands and the lands and the waters are used. And then P is green for the plants, and Y is for you, which is yellow. So I actually created a costume for Halloween, blue in the middle for water. Then I had the brown on the outside for soils and then the green for the vegetation. I got on rollerblades, Mike. I had a music box underneath it that played Swampy songs. And then I had like animals' voices coming out. Different types of animals, okay, and turned up the volume, and the kids could really resonate as far as a living wetland in there. And I got on rollerblades, and I had a Swampy face, and I had a Swampy stick, and somebody said it was so good at Halloween, they said, why don't you take that on the road? So I've had a lot of fun stories, Mike, since 1995. It's been about 21 years. So yeah, I love reaching out, sharing, and bringing the wetlands to the people.
Yeah, brilliant. And obviously, like we were talking about, we've been speaking a long time now on Clubhouse. And there's not many people you meet who's, into that sort of thing on Clubhouse, into the environment, into, wetlands and the animals and all that sort of thing. I guess, obviously, there's a lot of people who are into, I think we call it zoology, is it? Animals and stuff. And there's a lot of environmentalists
exactly,
and stuff.
Yep.
There are plenty of people who are into those sort of spaces. There's not so many on Clubhouse at the moment. And I think I did introduce or I spoke to somebody who was into the oceans. He was an ocean conservative, or, you know, trying to look after the oceans and stuff. That's probably the only other person I've met on Clubhouse other than yourself into that sort of side of things, if you like, you know, the environmentalist and all of that. And I know you're passionate about like Earth Day and about you know, lots of other causes as well. You've got a not-for-profit and all of that. So the character's been around for a long time, and 20 odd years you've been having great fun. But what are some of the campaigns and the topics you're looking to sort of like educate people about and that as the character? What are the things you're involved in?
Yeah, thanks, Mike, for asking me that question. Recently, probably about 4 months ago, I started my nonprofit. And I had a company called Planet Swampy LLC, but I wanted to start a nonprofit. Again, it's Swampy and it's Inc. And so my major focus, again, is supplying clean water. And I'll give you an example of that in just a minute. And protecting valuable wetlands. A lot of people think that those areas are wastelands, but really we're finding out how valuable they really are. When we lose them, it's tough to compensate. And the third area, Mike, is involved with the Earth Day. I've done several different projects for Earth Day. 2 years ago, I did a podcast every week. I'd cover a different subject. The first week might be about the history of environmental protection. The second week would involve carbon, climate, and forestry. And we had really great speakers on there nationally about those topics. The next week may have been clean water and wetlands. We had Bill Misch, one of the leaders internationally on wetlands. And then we had five more additional topics every week, everything from natural disasters to plastics in the ocean to our rainforest destruction. Then the next year I did a Earth Day Zoom celebrating the 50th anniversary last year of Earth Day. And I was able to chime in with a great group, creativemornings.org. So, yeah, a couple campaigns. Wrote my book, Mike. I'm trying to leverage that for a TV show for kids. I grew up in the age when they had something called Captain Kangaroo, and he had his sidekicks, Dancing Bear, Mr. Green Jeans, and Tom Terrific, right? So I've got the same thing. I've got characters, and I'm excited about leveraging that because kids don't really have shows where kids can be kids. So, yeah, again, a couple different areas, Mike. And that's an outreach.
Yeah, definitely. So you're busy. You're a busy man. I'm a busy man too. So I know what it's like. And you've got your fingers in a lot of pies, if you like. You're involved in a lot of things. How do you manage to keep all of it going? I suppose, you know, enthusiasm is part of it. But you know, obviously, I guess you've learned a lot along the way as well.
Yeah, you know, I have. Mike, I've been doing this for a long time. I do everything myself. I'm looking forward to the nonprofit actually share of some responsibilities of some helpers. But yeah, I've been doing this. I give interviews involving about the environment. I can tell you that about 15 years ago, I was in competition with Bill Nye, the science guy, to do a live webinar with 500 schools in the U.S. with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in California. And Bill and I both lost out to the electronic heron. So, yeah, it's been nice. Plus, I went on a cruise one time, and I mentioned Swampy, and they'd heard of Swampy. So I feel like it's a passionate thing. Also, Mike, I've got a compelling personal story as well that has jettisoned me, okay, to the urgency of wanting to have this outreach. So I wanted to just share that with you.
Yeah. Well, tell us your personal story, because I've heard it before, but obviously for the listeners and the audience, they haven't heard it before. So tell us a little bit about your personal story and what drives you on.
Yeah, it's a little bit unusual. I grew up at one year old. My father passed away, and then at 12, my mother passed away. I was the youngest of four. And at that point, I went into what's called an orphanage in Louisville, Kentucky. And it was an institution much different than a natural home. And so I was there for 6 years. I graduated from there. Didn't really have a father, didn't really have a mentor, kind of a lone wolf, okay? But was able to go to school and end up again at the University of Kentucky getting a degree in forestry in the Bachelor's of Science program. So at that point, Mike, I worked around a couple of different jobs, always trying to stay involved in forestry and the environment. I was a nature sanctuary manager. I worked for the U.S. Forest Service. I worked for FEMA. Was an urban planner for the Lexington Fayette Urban County Government. And later on, I was married for 28 years, had two great kids. But later on in 1997, Mike, I had a very serious automobile accident. I was hit head on by a rock truck, a 41-ton rock truck. And they said the airbag actually saved my life. Had seven different surgeries and survived those. And it was like interesting because something where between faith and science, I really believe in the scientific method. So I was able to recuperate from that. But it really changed my outlook on life as life became more urgent. And I felt like, you know, I have created this entire journey involving the environment, including the 1970s, which was the years when we had the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, et cetera, some other ones. So it became more pronounced, more urgent for me. And I've added upon that. And again, meeting people, networking, giving speeches. I've got an online site. I'm on Instagram. I've got a link tree. So I'm just trying to connect with folks in the environment, also education. My listeners may have heard of STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. The other program is using the A, making it STEAM for the arts. And I have an education program called STREAM. And the R adds for reading, writing, and English. Three areas needed before the kids take their ACT before college. So yeah, just a couple of different projects. I am looking for partnerships and sponsors, Mike, and that's the reason I'm enjoying Clubhouse so much.
Yeah, what sort of people do you think would make good partners and good sponsors and collaborators for you in the not-for-profit and everything else you're doing? What sort of people would you love, you know, maybe to listen to this and reach out to you?
Yeah, it's just there's just several different directions, whether it's educational, as far as I'm working on a curriculum. In the old days, I would tell people about Swampy, but I've actually changed that. I want to see what the educational curriculum, whatever they're doing with their schools and matching my curriculum to theirs. And so, yeah, on Clubhouse, Facebook, my big social media platform is Twitter. I've got like over 4,000 followers in my five different Twitter accounts. I should also share with you guys that I'm a film producer. I'm an executive producer of an 18-minute animated movie called The Hydric Zone, okay? And so, yeah, just basically connecting like with film producers, writers, Mike. I've written my book. I've got three other books in the pipeline. And education with STEM, and then motivational people, people like yourselves and speakers, and then, of course, mental wellness as well as that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, hopefully there'll be some people listening and wanting to get involved. I guess other sort of environmentalists and climate change people as well would be, you know, good people for you to connect with and reach out to, because they could maybe collaborate with you on some of the events you're doing for Earth Day and that sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah, and I'm already reaching out. I'm going to try to maybe have my own clubhouse in here later. I know we're both looking at that. But as you can see behind me, it's all about the waters and the soils and the plants. And yes, the majority of the folks on Clubhouse, they're talking about climate change, which that's interesting. I get involved with in permitting. Okay, when somebody mines coal, they take out so much overburden. And then once they remove the coal seam, maybe 2 to 4 feet, they have to put all the overburden back. And in doing so, it has to be engineered a certain way so it doesn't slide down the hill. And then around that, they've got to divert the water off that. So a lot of engineering. But yeah, somebody wants to actually drill down, Mike, vertically they go through all the different strata, hit the coast seam, they have to take that off. And then you also have to watch out for the waters, groundwater, and then also the surface waters. And then sometimes chemically, some of the different stratas can react adversely in the presence of oxygen and water, H2O and O2, and it can actually generate acid mine drainage and sediment into streams that may have endangered species. So throughout all the entire process, I'm very blessed to have gotten into that. And I want to share that with folks in an understanding way and whatever capacity that they're involved with.
Yeah, definitely. And does that, obviously you were involved in the mining side of things, and that's where a lot of your, knowledge expanded, you know, when you got into that from the forestry degree, I suppose that would have got you into lots more areas of understanding, the geometries and the biologies and the chemistries and all the different things you would have been involved in mining. Is there much mining still going on in Kentucky or in the US in general?
You know, it's been curtailed at a great rate. And Kentucky has two different coal formations. Okay, in the eastern, we have the Illinois Basin coals, and that runs in the mountains of Appalachia. And Kentucky's kind of lower in the southern areas. Those coals are known to have high BTUs, which are energy to burn, and lower sulfur levels that will not pollute the environment. And then Western Kentucky, we have the Illinois Basin coals, and that's more towards where the Ohio River meets Mississippi. But most areas are down tremendously. Kentucky receives about 80% of its energy from coal steel. And I know friends in the industry, and they're hurting right now, as well as the communities. And I'm trying to pitch back in a couple different campaigns to provide jobs in those areas as well. So, renewables, other types of aspects, but it's been impacted, obviously, with the Paris Accords and the upcoming areas. I think the United States had more energy from renewables, which could be solar, wind, geothermal, hydroelectric resources, nuclear. So it's changing. And I want us to invest in some of those and bring some of those energies, resources to Kentucky.
Yeah, well, I guess I was going to say, my guess is with your wide knowledge of all this stuff that you would be a good consultant or something for people who were looking to get maybe into renewables and find out where to put them and all of that sort of stuff. My guess is you'd have some useful knowledge to help with some of those sectors when they want to get going.
Exactly, Mike. And I was the environmental department manager for a firm in Williamsburg, Virginia. And a lot of times what we are involved is what's called the permitting process. If somebody wants to have a project, a lot of times they have to address, okay, the waters, which is under the Clean Water Act, usually overseen by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in association with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, as well as state agencies. Then we look at Fish and Wildlife Habitat, which are the federal and state organizations. And then a lot of times when they're mining, Mike, they actually can impact historical resources. So there's actually a bunch of regulation involved, the National Historic Preservation Act. And then also I wanted to mention as well my outreach additionally in natural disasters and disaster relief. And I've worked for FEMA and also for state Department of Homeland Securities. And yes, it's a rather elaborate body of regulation called the Robert T. Stafford Act. And what that encompasses is for project specialists in disasters, like 2005, I was in Hurricane Wilma, to meet with folks, the kickoff meetings, et cetera, and share with them their damages. And then we inventory that, and then we take pricing on Excel spreadsheets, and we've submit that to the federal government, the states do, and they get assistance in order to repair their infrastructure. So that it's permitting for the environmental, historical, then also for natural disasters, as well as urban planning. I might add that as well, Mike. So yes, I'm glad to help folks out in that area. And I've got a lot of experience. And the main thing is in that when people want to do projects, okay, that can impact the environment, a lot of the main thing is up front is getting the help and the regulations so they're not backed up later on having to wait for regulatory protocols, Mike. So yes. Tyra, I do get involved with that as well.
Yeah, and I know you've written some books and that. Have you done a life story book or have you just done books on specific subjects?
The main thing is I'm working a self-help book right now, which will help people in six different facets organize their life. And two of those, okay, one of them in the upper level, Mike, is white, which is however people get their power, okay, what their reach is. The opposite of white is black, which is the business, the financial aspects. So somewhere between white and black, and I'm a big fan of astrophysicists. One of those was Sir Isaac Newton, and he's the one that actually discovered all the different colors within a prism. So yeah, that's two different areas, Mike. I also grew up in the orphanage, and I'm working on a book. I'm not sure if our listeners have ever heard of the song My Old Kentucky Home that sung right before the Kentucky Derby. So I'm writing a novel in the 60s when John F. Kennedy got shot, all the way through all the trials and tribulations that we had as a nation, all the way till where they landed a man on the moon in 69. And the name of this book is This New Kentucky Home, because it wasn't mine, it was just this. And it wasn't old, it was new. But yeah, the different things that we did as orphanage urchins to try to deal with our situation. And that's one thing, Mike, as well as sci-fi. I'm also involved in, so far in five different episodes in the Hydric Zone.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, like I said, you had a colorful interest in life. So I think if you was to write a good life story of your life, because it's quite unique, it's in an area where, you know, like you say, you had the unusual start, if you like. And then you had, you had an interesting career, very diverse, very sort of expansive in all of the, you know, in an area where you don't get to read so much about, you know, people who've done things in your sector and, you know, that much diversity, et cetera. That I think it could make an interesting book, but also potentially an interesting life, you know, like a film or something, like, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Mike. And I haven't shared with your listeners yet is the accident in 1997 with a 41-ton rock truck, okay, and the different ways of being that occurred in that.
Before you do that, I've heard about this accident a number of times. How do you take a 41-ton rock truck on? How do you have a head-on collision with one of them? Was you in a car? Was you standing on the road? What happened?
No, you know, Mike, I was actually in a Toyota Corolla, and it was icy roads, and they tried to dodge someone else, but they came over double yellow lines. So yeah, I came to traveling home. It was cold in December. And I came to, I had the engine sitting in my lap. I looked over to the left, I had a compound fracture and there was glass everywhere. And I'm like, this is not a good thing. So I started talking to the responders and they thought that I was dead and I startled them, okay? So anyway, different process is that where they use the jaws of life, Mike. When they flew me up in a helicopter, the University of Kentucky police, hospital folks, the ambulance folks actually saved my life. And then I was in a hospital and I went in and out of consciousness. And I give talks about this as well as the ecology, Mike. And it was very, very interesting.
Yeah. So, and obviously you had to do some rehabilitation and all that as well, didn't you? You had to, What was that all? How long did all that take, and what did you have to do altogether?
Yeah, exactly, Mike. When I broke three of my four limbs, and I had what's called mechanical pneumonia, and I could not hardly inhale or exhale. And my father-in-law said, "You need to try to breathe and get these crystals into my lungs that would take out the water." Okay, so I had mechanical pneumonia lying horizontal. Then later on, I had to learn how to walk again. They did great surgery, putting my left femur and tibia back together. So I did that, and then occupational therapy for the work and physical therapy, getting those joints together. I can tell you a funny story, Mike. I went in one time, and the doctor said, okay, I had a couple screws loose. So she said, keep your your legs still. So I kept my legs still, right? And then the next time I came back, it had atrophied, okay? I could not move my leg back and forth. And she said, "You nut, you've got to start moving this leg or it's going to get stuck in place." And I said, "Well, you told me to keep it still, right?" So anyway, learned a lot of different things, Mike. One last thing is I want to encourage all of our audience. I learned how to swim, and it was low impact. And I learned how to flip turn and lap swim. And very, very good, very therapeutic.
Yeah, well, that's a good way of physioing after any injury, you know, because it's low impact.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So yes. And also, I think you're looking to try and get a swampy cartoon or a TV series and all that sort of thing as well. So if anyone's out there, maybe with opportunities for that, I think, you know, they should also reach out to you as well, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should. And I'm on IMDb, and I'm reaching out to folks. We had an animated movie, 18 Minutes, and we want to take that and have actual actors come forward. And we're now looking with Tim Burton and Johnny Depp to actually see if they would like, can get them on there. Johnny Depp is a Kentuckian. As long as Ashley Judd and Jennifer Lawrence. So, yeah, we're looking at doing that. Again, we want to have something for kids. We lost Mr. Rogers. And so, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, so I've asked you quite a bit, you know, from what I know of you and what I think the listeners should know. Is there anything I've missed? Because I know you do so much that I'm bound to have missed something.
You know, it's not, Mike. I enjoy taking interviews, meeting people. I just ask for you, if you ever want to contact me individually, my just write to me. My email is swampy, S-W-A-M-P-Y, at swampy.org, or kentglade@swampy.org. And my websites are kentglade.com, swampy.org, Planet Swampy. I'm on Facebook there and Twitter at Planet Swampy. And main thing is just connecting. We all have some skills, and I can help you out in a lot of areas as well. Getting ready to revise the webpage. And so I'm also looking to help folks as you've done, Mike, in a big way on Clubhouse and a pitch for Clubhouse. It's been life-changing for me and connecting with people all around the world.
Yeah, definitely. And didn't you say you had a link tree as well, which means if you give the link tree, then they can go there, and then all the links are on there anyway, aren't they?
So right, link tree, yeah, dash go swampy, and if you connect to that, actually it's what linktr.ee/go swampy, and they'll have a place there for my book, for all my different web pages, and the other thing, Mike, is we're looking at probably trying to get together and do a Clubhouse Earth Day, April 22nd. And if we've got speakers involved on wetlands, climate, education, natural disasters, et cetera, we're looking forward to reach out and discuss some of those things. And Clubhouse is a great vessel in order to do that.
Yeah, have you done any rooms on that yet? Or I know you go in and speak on other rooms, but have you done any of your own rooms yet?
No, I'm waiting to hear back from them. I've got a room that I've put in for Planet Swampy.
That's a club. That's a club. A lot of
the rooms, Mike, are for climate. Okay, but yeah, I want to incorporate obviously clean water and spaces around the world.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking like maybe with Earth Day coming up soon, maybe it might be worthwhile you just doing an event, say on a Saturday or something. So a room, just setting up a room and doing it for like 3 weeks or something as a recruitment tool for people who might want to collaborate with you on the Earth Day event. You know, so you do a pre Earth Day event, asking people who are interested in, you know, climate change, wetlands, water, you know, ecology, zoology, you know, etc. Asking, you know, do a room aimed at those people, and then seeing because although I've only met you and the marine biologist, that's the only. Have you spoken to the marine biologist?
No, but I'm going to get his name from you.
I'll definitely give him your name.
I'm not sure if they're familiar with Clubhouse on Instagram, so we can DM each other, direct message. So I'll go that route.
Yeah, but I give him your name anyway. I'm surprised he didn't get in touch with you because he was interested in speaking to you. But he was a zoologist, a marine biologist, and he's into sustainability and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But it's only you and him really in that space that I've met. But I'm pretty sure there must be some other people in that space too on Clubhouse. So if you set up some rooms and did it for a few weeks prior to Earth Day, then I think you'll get, you know, maybe 2, 3, 4 other, you know, similar like-minded people who can, you know, make that event then a bigger event like the Mental Health Summit was, with lots of different people from the mental health sector who could all speak on different topics. You know, you could have an Earth Day where, you know, maybe you had, you know, 6 people and you all could do 2 hours each, or, you know, you could cover different aspects of the environment and the earth and make it a really good event. But, you know, I'm pretty sure you could do it on your own and it'd be a good event too. But, you know, the more the merrier, they all bring more people in and makes it a bigger event then, don't it?
Yeah, and like you said, Mike, there's not a great deal of people specifically with clean water. There's a lot of folks in carbon and sustainability, like you're saying. I also wanted to share, I've been meeting people in Africa. I'm trying to bring clean water to a 250 child orphanage in Western Uganda near Soroti. And it's been great reaching out. One nonprofit, they have 1 million wells, and the ideal resources on Clubhouse. I'm meeting people from Africa and Tanzania. And also, I've been working with people in the States with the Native Americans, trying to help them out as well. So, yeah, a couple different outreaches.
Yeah, good. Well, I think we covered everything that I can think of, and you've added in all your webs and all your links and everything. So, is there anything else you wanna leave people with, or are we done?
You know, I think we're done. Again, my the main thing is the website. I gave my email address and Linktree, a little bit of that. So, yeah, I think I'm good. We've said about everything. And again, yeah, thanks for letting me share all that. And that's what I appreciate a lot.
No problem at all. And thanks for coming on the podcast. And we finally did it. You're both so busy.
Exactly, Mike. thanks for holding space for our room. And I'll, of course, help you out in that as well.
Yeah, no problem. That's why it's always been quite hard to nail this down, because usually when I'm shooting off, you're covering the room or whatever, like, you know, or you're busy or I'm busy or whatever. But we finally done it. So, thanks very much for coming on the podcast, for sharing all your information and your links and everything. And I look forward to next time you come on. Maybe we'll do a review of Earth Day or a plug for that or something, once you know
That'd be great, Mike. The lineup is
and what the event's going to be. So, just have a great day. I know I will, as I always do. And thanks very much for listening to all my audience. And, check out Swampy and everything he's doing. Get to that website and that link tree and check him out, because I'm sure there's some great things that you want to get involved in.
Yeah, and if you're on Clubhouse, my label is at Swampy. Most people have two names. Mine is just Swampy.
Yeah, brilliant. There's only one Swampy, and there's only one name. That's all you need. So, yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Have a great day, and catch up with you on Clubhouse.
All right, man. See ya. Take care.
Bye.